what a week it was. From Monday through Friday, there were over 200 people, young and adult, who we had the privilege of sharing with. Not only sharing the Word of God, but sharing some outrageous, amazing meals. Wow, it was really special. And just seeing the smile on everyone's face as they learned a few wonderful things along the way. What a journey and what a blessing. In today's gospel, Jesus takes his disciples and prepares them for a journey. He sends them out two by two. And it was an urgent message that he sent them with to show that God's kingdom was here and for the disciples to help deliver it, taking the very bare minimum with them, relying on local hospitality, and focusing on their orders. They were given specific instructions by our Lord, and they were to be followed to the letter. Jesus instructed them how they were specifically to carry out those instructions. Now, he chose his 12 to be special leaders, to be fishers of men. These were hardworking men. If you shook hands with them, there were calluses to be found. These guys didn't rest easy for a day. They were fishermen. Some of them were tax collectors, and that was a hard job as well, not a very popular one. But many of these guys were fishermen, and they were very familiar with a job and how to do it. But they would also have to be very special followers, people who could follow not only orders, but directions. Jesus clearly told them, and he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic or shirt. They were called in this effort to be public relations people. And it's too bad George Blanpete isn't here, because he has acted as our public relations director for years, helping me and helping y'all get the word out. But these guys, their public relations advance men, were warning people that something was about to happen, that everybody should get ready for it. And Jesus' message that these 12 brought to these people were nothing short of survival instructions. Following the instructions meant one's eternal survival. Get ready would mean repenting. Not just feeling sorry for particular sins or expressing regret for straining the bonds of a relationship, but changing your entire outlook and aims in life. More importantly, and catch this one, changing your behavior. Jesus' agenda left no room for compromise and no time to waste. You know what? Jesus' agenda hasn't changed in 2018. At least, he hasn't changed it. But others have tried to. And still others have said that the Spirit has changed it. There's a very special word for that. I think it's called malarkey. Jesus' agenda of going to the cross to pay the price for each of our sins has not changed. He went and he took all of our sins, and our names were on his mind as he laid down on that cross to be nailed to it. And you know what? Neither has our part of this sacrifice changed, repenting for our sins and changing our sinful behavior. Jesus knew that some places would not openly receive his message. Sadly, there are some people today who would rather stay home doing the same old, than face the in-your-face challenge of a new way of life, a transformation, a transformed way of life, a whole new moral outlook that is based on an old moral law. That's why the only response that Jesus' disciples were to have was clearly symbolic, shaking the dust of that place off their feet. Shaking the dust off meant essentially treating these Jewish cities as if they were pagan cities who were unclean, the dust of which the true followers of God would not want to remain on them. Can you imagine how much easier it would have been for these 12 to show resentment and anger at the rejection by these people, getting into an argument, a screaming match, a debate? Jesus made it clear that there was no time to waste. Jesus' mission was on a non-stop pace. No time to waste, and they would have to go and move on to the next place if there was not receptive to them. And may God have mercy upon those who missed their chance to receive and accept this message. Now, Jesus was not sending the apostles, the disciples, out on a training mission. This was the real thing. Not a dry run or even a divine act of delegation of power. But instead, this was a deeply symbolic act of witness to the Israel of Jesus' day as to just what time it was in God's calendar and his urgent timetable. And it's not just Israel's history, but in fact, the history of the whole world was racing to a dramatic climax, the showdown that would take place on a mountain in Israel, Mount Calvary. The 12 obediently preached repentance. They drove out demons and healed many sick people. Jesus gave them authority, the right and the power over evil spirits. Now, this power to exorcise demons would confirm their preaching and their authority. Who were these guys to speak to evil spirits and tell them to get out? You know, you can do that too, but you have to use a certain name. If you feel oppressed, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. And the spirits have to leave you alone. They have to obey the name of Jesus. And these were not just some guys off the street that Jesus had chose. These were men who worked very closely with Jesus and knew that his power, they witnessed it. It stretched far beyond his personal presence. He had a charisma, but when he spoke things into being, they happened. When he told the waves to stop and he told the storm to stop, it happened. His instructions were non-negotiable, and they had to hurry up and do the task at hand. This is truly the coming of the kingdom of God. Now see, if you go away for a weekend, how many bags do you pack? Think about it. You know, is it just an overnight bag? Or do you have a full piece of luggage and then the other bag that goes along with it? And then, of course, there's snacks for the journey, right? That's the way we are today. You know, we have luggage. These guys were not supposed to take anything extra with them. Can you imagine? We don't know how long they went for, but it was an important journey. You see, in Jesus' sending these disciples, they were going to carry out the very things that Jesus would do if he was there in person. The 12 were sent to preach the word, leading people to trust in the Savior of the world, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah, and to change their behavior in their sinful ways. His death on the cross was coming, and people needed to get ready. Jesus and he gave detailed instructions to the disciples. Let me correct that. This was to the apostles, the 12. You see, we often get confused, and I purposely confuse these terms today because, as I told the VBS, that there's a difference between an apostle and a disciple. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. You are disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes, but you're not apostles. Apostles are chosen by God. The 12 were apostles. How many apostles are there? You only have to look at our altar. There are 13 apostles. Those little triangles, if you lift up the curtain there, lift up the frontal. There are 13 little triangles that have been put there purposely because there are 13 apostles. the 12, well, Judas took care of one, and then Matthias was chosen by God to replace him, and then Jesus chose Paul, Saul of Tarsus, 13. Those are the apostles. Everybody else are disciples, okay? So now, every time I talk about who was sent out, they're not disciples, they're the apostles. And Jesus gave them strict instructions to go out two by two. Don't go alone. That's a very, very good lesson to learn when we do any kind of ministry. We're not a solo act. We should be together. What did Jesus say? When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But they had to tackle and prepare the world for the coming crisis. The greatest crisis in the world would know the death of Jesus on the cross. The moral decay that is rapidly changing the face of society back in the first century and also today is alarming. Some people can and will justify anything just because they will refuse to submit to anyone's authority but their own. Instead, they cry out, "Because I want to. It's my right. It's who I am, the real me." You heard that before? Oh, and then, "Accept me just the way I am." Oh, and their favorite, "Don't judge me." How many times have you heard me say, Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way? And there are some people who are afraid of that. It's called submission. And they don't want to submit to anybody or anything. Well, our focus today has to be on Jesus' work, on Jesus' message without delay. I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. He said, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so I now say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. If it's not in here, it's not." And this is what we are to reproof things with. If you hear a preacher saying something, check it in here. If you hear me say something, check it in here. I promise you, I will not preach to you any truth that is not in here. That's my commitment to the people of St. Andrews. But there are people, there are preachers out there that are trying to customize the Word of God by putting or deleting parts of the text. The one true gospel of Jesus Christ changes us and does not need for us to change it or replace it with what you might call a social gospel. Jesus has given us a charge with instructions for survival. Remember, Jesus' agenda has not changed, despite what others are trying to mold it to, with whims of culture, and then there's others who maintain that some spirit is changing it. Well, I can tell you it's not the Holy Spirit that's changing it. I don't know who that spirit is, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Jesus' agenda of going to the cross to pay the price for each of our sins has not changed, and neither again has our end of it, repenting of our sins. I want you to hear the words that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and it could just as well be words to the faithful today. "Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure person or one who's greedy," that is an idolater, "has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord, you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. So we talked about all this past week in the parish hall. Let Christ's light shine in us. Jesus said on the night before he died in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me be clear. He is the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's John 8, 31 to 32. Now, if we're really to be free and to call ourselves followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, and even more so, Christians, then we've got to follow his instructions. We're not to add to them or do our own thing, but we are to be gratefully obedient and do his word. The Apostle James said this in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And as we learned all week in Shine, our VBS, it's time for us to get busy doing the business of the gospel, following the instructions of Jesus, spreading the love of Christ, and sharing that love by shining Christ's message in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Those are our marching orders. If people are not receptive to that message, don't get frustrated, but instead it's time to shake the dust off, and may God have mercy upon those who missed their chance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.